Well, do take the Word of God again, please, and turn back to the passage which we have just read, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 being our text, and again with the Word of God open before us, we'll take time to seek the face of the Lord, do petition the Lord for yourself, and the Lord will be pleased to speak to you. We're always very conscious when you stand in a pulpit. I cannot do anything here, but the Lord can speak to your soul this morning. So you do have the responsibility of praying. The Lord will minister on to yourself. The Lord will minister on to you today for the glory of His name. And speak to those who are unsaved. So let's unitedly pray together for the blessing and for the help of the Lord. Well, Father in heaven, we come again just to Thy throne with the utmost of confidence. Lord, Thou art one who heareth the cries and the petition of Thy children. And Lord, we recall the words of Scripture, even again in John 21, where it said, "And the Lord Jesus Christ showed Himself again." And Lord, we pray this morning, the Lord, You reveal Thyself again to us through Thy Word. The Lord, teach us more of Thy love, of Thy mercy, of Thy goodness toward us. And the Lord, may it cultivate in us a response to lovely, all the more affectionately and deeply. The Lord, do us good today. Thou knowest each heart. Thou knowest every burden which every child of God carries. We ask of Thee today that the Word of God will come with penetrating power. And Lord, may it be a word in season. O God, have mercy upon us. Speak to us today. Lord, we love Thee and we know You love Your church. Come and bless us, therefore. Do us good. Bless Thy church as a whole. Every man who mounts the pulpit. Every child of God who sits in the house of the Lord. Every individual who's unwell in the hospital or at home. Lord, bless them today. Glorify Thy name. Lord, do us good. We ask in Thy worthy in precious name. Amen. And amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This is a well-known verse, and it's certainly a well-loved verse by the people of God. It's one we can latch on to in times of trouble. And problems weigh down heavy upon any of us. Here's a verse which comes with such power and refreshing. Though as a child of God, tremendous good in times of hardship and trouble. It's a word of encouragement to enable us to bear the load. There's one thing I have learnt in my few months here in Ballymoney and whatever other experience I've had in years gone past. There's very few, if any, of the children of God who don't bear a burden, who don't have some problem or some hardship in their life, whether it be health, whether it be family issues, whether it be career, or whatever. And I know as I stand before this congregation, I'll be very surprised if there's even one or two with no burden this morning. We all have burdens to bear. And that's why it's good to turn our attention to this verse, to this passage. When the pressures of the 21st century set in like a raging flood, here's a verse that gives us, as it were, that foothold to steady ourselves on the Lord, the rock, Christ Jesus. And the verse tells us here. It says, casting all your care upon Him. I find that interesting. Casting all your care upon Him. Well, why? Why would the Lord want us to cast our cares upon Him? Why would the Lord be concerned with our moanings and our complaints? Why would the Lord want to listen to us? Well, the answer's in the verse. Because He careth for you. I love the logic in this verse. Peter gives us a principle He says, cast your care upon him. But then he tells us why. The text is straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because he careth. It's because he cares. We can cast all our burdens upon the Lord. When someone cares about you, they'll listen to you. I'm sure if you're married, there's many a time I'm sure you'll obviously care about your husband or care about your wife, but there's times maybe you find it hard to listen to them. I'm sure Lydia finds it hard listening to me all the time. But yet, our love isn't perfect, but Christ's love is. And he's always ready, always having an open ear to listen to the cares and concerns of his children. Why? Because he careth. Because he careth for you. That word care, it really means concern. And it can be translated as concern. We can read it that way, therefore. Casting all your care upon him, for he has a concern. He has a concern for you. As I stand and think about that, I find those sort of statements in Scripture quite mind-blowing. The Lord who sits on the throne of heaven, in himself dwells in perfection, in need of absolutely nothing, yet he has a concern and a care for me, who's hell deserving, who feels the Lord day and daily, yet he cares. Praise the Lord, yet he cares. And has a concern for us. I rejoice in that. So to the troubled saint this morning, this is a verse which brings great comfort. To the child of God bereaved, this verse will be the best of company. To the one who is sick and unwell, in this verse, friend, find an ointment of words which will soothe the pain. And to those who are in this house this morning, unsaved, unconverted, and I trust burdened because of your sin, terrified of being cast into hell, read this verse. And you will find there is a Christ who listens and who cares about the repentant sinner's cry. And he saves. This is a mighty verse. And it's good for us afresh to consider it here this morning. I want to dwell upon this verse with you and consider just very simply the truth that God careth for you. God careth for you. I have just two very simple and different thoughts that I want to leave with you concerning this passage. Firstly, why we often forget that God cares. Why we often forget that God cares. See, the Lord says in this verse, very simply and very pointedly, that he cares for us. That he careth for you. Because he knows we often forget about that. When you read a verse like this, ask yourself, why did the Lord have this penned in Scripture? Why is it here? I think it's here. Because God's people, we all too quickly forget that the Lord cares. In a very real way, Peter here is just stating the obvious. And sometimes that's good. To have the obvious presented to us afresh. The Lord cares. When trouble comes, we forget that the Lord cares. When trouble comes, we forget that the Lord cares. Will you turn with me to Mark's Gospel? Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I may have at least read this with you sometime before. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the verse 35, I want to highlight a couple of verses here because when trouble comes, we forget that the Lord cares. Verse 35 of Mark 4, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith, that's the Lord, speaking to his disciples, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, the apostles were in a boat, and we read that the boat was full of water. No doubt they were absolutely terrified. Naturally, they would be concerned of drowning here, of passing away by death. Naturally, they would have feared. But in verse number 38 here, we read that the Lord was in the ship. Halfway down that verse, I want you to note the words that the apostle says to Christ. Because here has to be the greatest insult that any child of God ever uttered to Christ. Verse 38. Christ, and he, that's Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? They say this to the Messiah, the one who has come to die on Calvary's tree, the one who would bear their burdens, the one who would be crucified so that they might be saved. And they ask him, Lord, do you not care about me? What an insult. This is the Christ who came to save them. Of course he cared. Of course he cared. Truth be told, there are probably times, moments in all our lives when we lift up our voice to the Lord and say, Lord, do you care about me? Perhaps we don't say it in an audible fashion. Maybe just in the depths of our heart we would whisper, does the Lord even care about me? In times of trouble, in times of hardship. Such a statement it is. It's an insult to the Lord. But you know, I have to say what I love about this passage is, although the apostles here stated a great insult to the Lord, what was the Lord's reply? Did the Lord rebuke them? Did the Lord cast them into further turmoil, further hardship because of this foolish statement? No. The Lord in mercy and in grace and in goodness dealt with the problem. Even though they were foolish here. Even though they come off with a very rash statement, the Lord's still merciful. And the Lord still was good to them. Why? Even though they were foolish, even though they were rash, yet the Lord cared for them. Yet the Lord cared for them. When troubles come, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't care about us. Not at all. The Lord always cares. When trouble comes, we forget God cares. When prayers go unanswered, we forget that the Lord cares. You know what it's like when we pray for a period of time and there's no answer. Again, the thoughts in our mind, does the Lord care about us at all? Is the Lord listening? Is the Lord concerned? Well, I want to turn you to John's Gospel now. John chapter 11. I felt the best way to preach in this passage in 1 Peter 5, it's just to really go through Scripture and look at our examples. So in John chapter 11, we read here of Lazarus who died and was buried. We'll read the first three verses together. John 11 verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, that's the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. They were concerned. You and I know that he died and that he was buried. Before he died, his sisters, being obviously concerned about their brother, sent a word to the Lord notifying and telling their Saviour and the one whom they followed and loved that Lazarus, whom the Lord loved, was sick and was dying. Now, one may think here, if the Lord really cared about this man, Lazarus, and about his two sisters, he would have instantly stepped in. He would have came immediately and cured this man of his illness and cured him of his sickness. But in verse number 6, we read that the Lord waited for 2 days. Then he began to make his way to Lazarus. You see, the Lord didn't answer his request immediately. Did that mean he didn't care about them? No, not at all. You see, the Lord cared enough about Mary and Martha, especially, and the people he ran, Lazarus. The Lord cared enough for these people that he would allow them. He would permit them in his will. He would allow all this to happen. They would go through this difficult time, and afterwards, after they went through this time of testing and trial and hardship, then the Lord would step in and work marvelously and cure this man of, well, bring him back to life as it was. Why? Why did the Lord not just come at the start and cure him? Why did the Lord not just come and get rid of the disease instead of allowing them to go through all the agony, to go through all the hardship? Why does the Lord allow you to go through times of terrible hardship, terrible strugglings? Why? The same reason he allowed 2 days to pass and for these people to suffer. I believe it was for this reason. So that they would see all the awfulness and all the hideousness of sin. How sin brings death. How sin can corrupt the body. How sin can destroy. And then they would see. Then they would see. After he had died, they would see the Lord coming. And they would see the Lord producing this wonderful miracle, teaching them something. That the Lord was mighty and powerful to cure from the wickedest and awfulest diseases, even death itself. You see, they were going to learn something here they wouldn't forget. They would learn that Christ is able to overcome the greatest of sins. This is a message to their hearts that would refresh them and done them good. And friend, when you go through times of hardship and trial, you remember the Lord cares. And he cares enough about you to let you suffer. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine how hard it would be to have a child and to have to let it go through, maybe to teach it a lesson, to let it go through some stage of hardship. Just for example, let's say you have a little child and you want to teach it not to jump into the nettles. And you've held it back time and time again from jumping into the nettles. But eventually, you see it walking over fourth or fifth time, and you allow it just to touch a nettle with the tip of its fingers, just so that it feels the pain, and it'll never do it again. The child learnt there not to, well, touch the nettles. And sometimes the Lord lets us go through hard times to teach us how sin can destroy and how sin can ruin our lives so that we stay well clear of it and well rid of it. The Lord cares about us enough to teach us tenderly and passionately. When prayers aren't answered quickly, it may appear that God doesn't care, but he does. Because these women, they were essentially requesting of the Lord to help them. It's like a prayer here. They prayed for the Lord to come and to help them, but the Lord didn't come immediately. Not because he didn't care. It's because he was teaching them. Because it was for their greater good. So when troubles come, we forget God cares. When prayers go unanswered, we forget God cares. And when you forget the Lord cares, I want you to do something. I want you to look to Calvary. I want you to lift your eyes to heaven. When you forget the Lord cares, You lift your eyes to the suffering of Christ upon Calvary's tree. Because the fact that God cares, the fact that the Lord cares about us, is evidently seen there at Calvary. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world to be born of a woman, to be laid in a manger, to be made under the law? Because he cared. Why did he live a spotless life, enduring temptation, enduring ridicule, enduring all the hardships that he went through? Because he cared. Why did he suffer the beating? Why did he suffer the scourging? Why did he suffer the crown of thorns placed upon his brow? Why did he suffer the cross? Because he cared. Praise the Lord. Because he cared. In the light of all this, in the light of Calvary, there is no doubt that the Lord had a care and a concern for his people. When you come into a time of hardship and trouble, maybe you're here this morning and things aren't going too bad for you. You're enjoying the blessing of the Lord. Life's running pretty smoothly. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his blessings upon you. I don't mean to sound very pessimistic here, but I want to be realistic. We'll all have times of hardship. And if you're okay now, I want you to listen, because you will have times of hardship and trouble ahead of you. There will be loved ones who pass away. There will be days of ill health. There will be days when things don't run smoothly. That's why this verse is very important for you to memorize and get in your heart. Because when you're lying in the hospital bed, when you're sick and unwell, when your family perhaps is passing away, let's think in Job. His family died. Tragedy struck him. Praise the Lord, as a man who got his eyes on the mercy and the goodness of God. And he says, yet will I praise him. In your hardest and darkest hours, you never forget this. Christ cares. The Lord says in this verse to each and every one of us that I care for you. Those are the words of the living God. Never forget them. Never forget. When times of trouble come, when prayers go unanswered, you just remember, still the Lord cares. And he loves. So, that's firstly. Secondly then, in the light of all that we have said, that the Lord cares for us who are his people, even though sometimes we forget, yet the Lord cares for his people. In the light of this fact, I trust we've proved it sufficiently as well, in the light of all this, we can definitely conclude clearly, the Lord cares for you and me. Secondly then, do you care about the Lord? Christ says he careth for you. Now, do you care about the Lord? Do you care about Christ? You know, this is the greatest problem with mankind. Few there are who have a love, a concern, a care for Christ and the things of God. Now, I'm just not speaking here about unsaved people. I'm speaking also about God's people. Those who are saved, those who are converted. Because fleshliness and the world can suffocate, not absolutely, but it can suffocate and hinder our love and our care for Christ. Fleshliness, worldliness, all these things affect our love for the Lord. And we can feel and grow cold in our care and love for Christ. That's the saved people, but then there is also the unsaved, as we come to the conclusion here soon. There is the unsaved who have no care for the Lord as well. I want to briefly just address the saved and the unsaved here. Just in a second and final point. I'll address the Christian first of all. I want you to take a moment this morning, just a moment, to evaluate how much do you really care about the Lord? How much do you care about the Lord this morning? Is he the most precious possession you have? That's a phrase that's used so often. Is the Lord the most precious possession you have? We hear that so often. So much so that it just rolls over our head. And we don't take time to think about it. I want to say this morning. You go home. You pray about this. Lord, are you my most precious possession? Are you? I remember years ago, I was about, 19 at the time. And the Lord was blessing me and helping me in my walk with Him. One night I knelt down to pray. And I was just praying to the Lord. And I was expressing just, Lord, that I'm thankful you saved my soul and so on. And then I was going to say, Lord, I have no idols. I have nothing that I put before thee. I couldn't say it. So I knew in my heart, for the first time I realized in my heart as I was praying that, I do have things which I set before the Lord. I do have things that I care more about than the Lord. And I got up off my knees. A few days later, that thing that I cared so much about was gone. And I never came back. Because the Lord was teaching me something. That He has to be first. Is the Lord your most precious possession? That's something you and I need to pray about. Because sometimes we don't even realize we're putting all our things in front of the Lord. And it's the worst thing we can do. When we love something else more than the Lord. Is He your most precious possession? Do you care about Him more than anything else? If we care for the Lord, if our love for Christ is developing and flourishing, we'll be very glad to sacrifice everything we have to the Lord. We'll be glad to give to the Lord financially. Do you rejoice in giving your finances to the Lord? That's an evidence just to see if we care about Him. Give ourselves to the Lord, or weekends or evenings and prayer and whatever else to the Lord. Do you care about Him enough to forsake sin? See, our love for Christ or care for the Lord is one of the great motivations that will stop us from sinning, because we love the Lord. Does your care and your concern and your love for the Lord motivate within you a burning desire to fellowship and to spend time with Christ? If you love somebody, you'll want to spend time with them. If you love the Lord, you'll want to fellowship with them in prayer. I don't mean prayer in the sense of sitting down and forcing yourself to pray because you have to, or just pray out of mechanicalism. No, I mean praying to the Lord because you'll want to fellowship with Him. Reading the Word of God because you'll want to understand and hear more of God's Word to you. You want to see more of the love of Christ. You want to learn of the Lamb of God. When you love somebody, you'll want to spend more and more time with them. Oh, that Christ would cultivate in all of us a greater love and a concern and a care for the Christ who saved us. I love them that love me, the Lord said. And those that seek me early, praise the Lord, shall find me. Christian, how much do we really care about the Lord? Let's not just think about that and go home and forget about it. You pray over that. And search the depths of your souls and pray that the Spirit of God would search the darkest crevices of your heart so that you can root out any apathy, any deadness that may be in your heart. Because we all have it, and it stinks before God. It stinks before us. Oh, the Lord would rid us of all apathy and deadness and develop our love for Him. I spoke briefly to the saved. Then we just address the unsaved here. Do you care about Christ? Do you sit in this house this morning, unsaved, absolutely careless about the Lord's sacrifice and everything which the Lord has done? Have you ever taken time to sit down and to consider and to think about and even contemplate upon what Christ did upon Calvary's tree? Have you? Have you ever taken time to consider the Lord? You know, there's scores of people in Scripture. Scores of people in Scripture who were careless, who never thought about the Lord and perished. Let me turn you just very quickly here to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 19. I'm going to read the verse. Luke 12:19, and I will say to my... If you're on save, listen to me here, please. I'm not just saying this to get through the next 5 minutes. I'm saying this because I have a concern for your soul. And this is the word of God. Chapter 12, the verse 19 of Luke. Here's a man who had no care for the Lord. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. This man didn't live long enough to either eat, drink, or be merry. Didn't live long enough to fulfill any of these things which he said. He had no concern about God, and so he wasted his life on fleshly things. And what happens? What happens to such an individual who spends their life partaking only of the things of this world, the things of the flesh, of spending his days, years satisfying his own desires and lusts and affections? What happens to such an individual? Well, those who reject Christ in life, he will reject after death. Those who reject Christ in life, forget about him. He'll reject you after death. What an awful way to live your life. What a hopeless way to enter God's eternity. I want to ask you, just take time today, get your Bible out, and you sit and you think about what Christ did on Calvary's tree. And may it lead you to the Lamb of God that saved your soul. He careth for you. That's a mighty verse to the unsaved. He careth for you. Would you be so arrogant? So disrespectful? So ungodly to harden your heart to the care of the one who came in love to save his people? And we just say in conclusion, because he cares, there is a Christ. Because he cares, there was a cross. And because he cares, you do not have to be condemned. Because he cared, you can be converted to the love of God. Even this very day, dear child of God, never forget this verse. Never forget that God careth for you. Because of that very fact, because of that very fact, we have a cause to rejoice this morning. Because God cares, we can lift our voices and rejoice and praise him and thank him. Because God cares. And sure, that's a thought that stirs our souls. It strengthens our faith. And I hope and pray that it motivates us to love him all the more when we contemplate the truth that he cares for us. May it be reciprocated in us as we care and love him. It's the peace which passeth all understanding when we grasp that truth. In times of hardship, don't forget it. Unconverted, unsaved, in the service, if you're troubled about your sin, if you're concerned about being cast into God's awful eternity into hell, let me just, as I said at the start, point you to the Christ, Savior, the one who cares, and he hears the repentant sinner's cry. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth. He careth for you.